Today on The Breakdown, it's a pop quiz hot shot. Darth Vader versus Luke. Harry Potter versus Voldemort. Stephen Chidwick versus Lucky Chewy. What do these things all have in common? Besides the fact that it's two people battling out, they're all wizards. That's right. Harry Potter, Voldemort, pretty straightforward, pretty obvious, really. Also, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, space wizards. And of course, Lucky Chewy, Stephen Chidwick are card wizards. And they are playing at the Super High Roller Bowl that just completed the $300,000 buy-in Super High Roller Bowl. Blah, 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 blah. And there's only three players left. And here's the other thing. I don't even know what happens in this hand. I don't know anything. And here's a little inside baseball for all you longtime listeners of The Breakdown. When I don't know what happens in the hand, or I just don't have anything else to, you know, talk about in the beginning. You notice I sort of ramble on anyway sometimes. You may have noticed. Well, what I do is I always work a sponsor in there. I trick you, and I get you to subliminally be interested in a product, and we get paid for it. That's a little inside, behind-the-scenes kind of a thing. This time, though, I'm not going to do that. It's going to be just overt. Pistachios. The good nut. The rational nut. We have been paid for that. And now we'll move on to The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. Three words.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
The rational nuts.
What the fuck was that opening?
You know what happened is this. We were about to start, and you're like, I need to go to the bathroom. And so you went away for 3 minutes or something. And I had time to actually think about the opening, which I never have, right? I always just start. And I was like, what do I want to do? And I was like, oh, and I actually planned it out a little bit. And, you know, it didn't go according to plan, of course. But it sort of had the, I felt I traveled along the spine of the plan.
What happened in that moment when you said super high roller bowl, blah, 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 blah? What was going on there?
Because I didn't say super high roller bowl very well.
Oh.
So then I just made
some
sounds.
You were making fun of yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, blah, blah, blah. It just seemed like that maybe you were having a stroke or something. It was not clear.
It's never going to be clear with me. When I'm having a stroke, it's going to be like the boy who cried wolf. And people are going to be like, should we? He's probably just making a little laugh at himself as he does, making fun of stroke victims again.
Great.
Good. They're the last, you know,
you're still
class
allowed.
Of people we can go after.
Stupid people. They can't defend themselves that well.
Right, but stroke victims, completely wide open. There's no taboo yet.
Yeah. Okay, another thing. This is unrelated to like your performance. It's just part of the parlance, you know, used in snarky Reddit corners is, you know, calling Force users in Star Wars space wizards.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I take issue with that. And I hadn't.
Really?
I hadn't until you said it. And then I thought about it while you were going blah, 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 or whatever you were doing. But space wizards, why do we have to call them space wizards? We're all in space, man. The planet's in space. They're just wizards.
I mean, they are actively in spaceships flying around and on space stations, right? I mean, they're traveling from planet to planet.
The Earth is a space station and a spaceship, man!
You know, it's fair. Yeah. I mean, the point of calling... Yeah, okay. But, like, Harry Potter's never been to Mars.
Yeah, he's a Hogwarts wizard.
He's never had to go to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters, you know what I'm saying?
You don't know if he has or not. We just know that he didn't have the adversarial relationship with his uncle and aunt that Luke did that resulted in the whiniest line in movie history.
Okay. That's kind of true, actually. Yeah. The Dursleys were very mean to Harry, I will say that.
I don't care, though.
Very mean. In the beginning.
That kid deserved it.
Oh, my God. He lived in the closet.
That was his fault. Anyway, this was suggested by Chris Jones.
Yeah. Chris Jones.
Nice work. This is a good hand.
Is it?
Yeah, I like
it. Great. I mean, considering the context for it, Chidwick, Lucky Chewy, three left in this 300K Super High Roller Bowl, they're playing still for millions. Yeah, I'm pretty interested when it's a breakdown suggestion that you're like, we're doing this hand without knowing what it is. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so give me some info on the payouts and how many people played this event and stuff like
that. Sure thing. There were 20 entries. Only 20.
Wow. Was it not in Las Vegas? I didn't pay attention, obviously.
I'm pretty sure it was at Aria.
Huh.
It was at Aria.
So the there's a less frothy market for the Super High Roller Bowl than there once was, because it used to be they only let 48 people in when it was more expensive to get in.
That's right. The 500K. I think they only did 500K once.
Maybe twice. Maybe twice.
But still, no, it used to always be like 48 or 40 some odd people even after that.
And people were clamoring to get in.
Right. Like people had to work to get in, even get drawn. Like they would decide who didn't get in, like through lottery and stuff like that.
Did the businessmen dry up or something? Is that the problem?
I don't know. What I know is that there are only four people cash because there were 20 entries.
Weird. Like, it's so weird.
I mean, they could have done two people cashing or three people cashing too, but I guess they felt bad about it, so they let it be four. And Jason Kuhn's pretty happy because he made $600,000 instead of zero. The payouts are as such, though. Everyone has locked up $960,000. Ike Haxton is still at the table as well. Second place is $1.7 million, and first place is $2.8 million. So it's pretty good to have locked up three buy-ins, but... Yeah. You know, you'd really rather lock up like nine if you can. That pays for your next eight Super High Roller Bowls.
You'd really rather have more money than not? Is that what you're saying?
I'm like every sports commentator who always says, like, what they really want to do here is get in there and score a touchdown.
Right.
It's like, yep.
I think that is probably correct. There are a few situations where that's not the case, but it's rare.
But they make it sound like it's a surprising or interesting strategic point when... That is the goal, I would say, a solid 99% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, sports comment, we can go on forever.
Let's not.
About how they just talk about...
Wrong podcast. If you're interested in that kind of a thing, that's the Just Go With It podcast with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy on all of your local podcast apps international ones as well.
No, local. Like, if you live in Des Moines, check your Des Moines podcast app.
I mean, you're saying it like there isn't a Des Moines podcast app, but fuck you, Grant. There might be a Des Moines podcast app.
Want to bet?
I want to bet on lots of things, Grant.
On Des Moines podcast app?
I wanted to bet on the combo draw thing, and you wouldn't do it. And now here we are.
You never said you wanted to bet.
Yeah, you said, do you want to bet? I said, yes. Play back the fucking tape. And then you didn't say you would. It's not that you wouldn't do it. It just is that we never established any money.
Assigned any sort of value to the bet.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because so I got trashed in that
Let's follow up on that one real quick.
See, what a guy. I bring it up myself.
Yeah. So for those who did not hear the episode, came out last week or something like that.
Yeah, go listen to it.
Go listen to it, first of all. Don't be an idiot. But we had an argument where Jonathan claimed that he did not believe it from a theoretical perspective, but that the common usage term of combo draw included having a pair and a flush draw.
Exactly.
And I argued back strongly against that, and we decided to do polls on Discord and Twitter, and Jonathan got annihilated.
It's true.
Crushed.
I got like 22% of the vote, basically, right? Which was less than I was thinking, I'll be honest. Less than I was thinking.
Yeah.
So it seems at least of the people who are paying attention to the Poker Guys and voting in Poker Guys polls, and there was like, a few hundred people who voted?
Yeah, maybe around 200.
It's not like it was 30 people.
Yeah.
So it's a reasonable sample size. I'm really disappointed in you guys. I'm just going to say, really disappointed.
You mean the opposite, though, don't you? Because you know it's better if it means the right thing instead of the wrong thing.
I don't think this would have gotten me to the win, to be super clear. But maybe we asked it a little bit incorrectly, the question, now that I think about it. Because we asked it as, like, if you flop a pair and a flush draw, is that a combo draw, right?
Right.
And that is, I approve that way we ask it, so I'm not complaining. But maybe we should have said, is that seen as a, or do people, is that no, you know what? It's fine.
That shouldn't matter.
Well, because I don't think it should be a combo draw, but I think that's what people say. Anyway, I would have lost that bet. I would have bet $50 on that for sure. That's $50 you'll never see, son. Mm. Never.
It depends on if I just decide that I deserve that $50 anyway and just take it.
But how would you do that?
You're not very aware of your surroundings.
That is very true.
So that's all I need.
Do you know, I lived, this is a long time ago, I lived in a small town because of where I was working, back when I was working at the Autism Treatment Center that many years ago. And I lived on this little street, and I was describing to someone where the street was and where I lived, and they said, oh, you mean by the huge church? The massive church at the end of the block? I'm like, no. And when I drove home, I was like, oh, that massive church that's right there, that's humongous and only looks like a church. Yeah, that is at the end of the block, yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I just, you know, I'm very, very focused. I'm very focused.
On Netflix? I don't know. It's
on Netflix?
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm just focused on whatever's only in front of me, and that is it. Super present, but only in a very localized way. That's very localized.
Something like, you've lived in the apartment that we are currently recording in for how long? 5 years?
4 years.
4 years. And the apartment the entire time has had a balcony.
Yep.
The only outdoor space available in the apartment.
Correct.
And Jonathan just got a table for it.
And the only reason I did is because you said, why don't you have a table for that?
Yeah.
You should get a table and chairs. And I said, I never really thought about that. and I see other people and their balconies, you know, here, and they all have table and chairs. But I just don't think that's, I just think that's them being quirky or something. Like, because who does
why do
that?
Why would you not do that?
It just, I just feel like, why would I sit outside? But then I got it and I was like, oh, this is nice. This is a good thing.
Being outside is good.
It's not so bad.
You should be outside more.
It's good to have the option. And let me tell you, a patio table, not very expensive.
It depends on the one, but yeah, for sure.
All of them are inexpensive.
Okay, yeah. Good.
You know who's loving this? Chad McVean gets to hear all the patter before.
All right, here we go. Let's get back to the hand.
All right.
So we have three remaining. You heard the stakes. We've got three elite players. I would say Lucky Chewy is not quite in the same class as the other two guys these days, but maybe he's reaching that class now. Who knows?
I think he's not in the tier, but he may be one tier below.
What's his Hendon?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I was going to ask you what
Lucky
Chewy's
I don't know what Lucky... So
well, that's the point,
Chidwick is like $50 million or something, right?
Chidwick is $54 million.
And I'm going to guess Haxton is 40-ish.
I'm going to have to look right now on Haxton. He has been on a bit of a hot streak. Ike Haxton, good sir, is $43 million.
Okay.
You're doing great. So just nail Lucky Chewy and we can all get out of here.
$26
million. No.
$14
million? 17.
Okay.
26 is not close enough.
No, I agree.
That's a miss. That's a swing and a miss.
That's a miss.
Wow.
So, yeah, so he's definitely not on their level of results.
He's 56th on the all-time money list. And he does play a lot of live poker. As I look through his Hendon, it's just like so many cashes in each year. Just so many.
But he's not playing as many of the high roller events, perhaps?
He's playing a bunch of them, but maybe not the highest of the high roller, or not cashing in them anyway. I don't know. I mean, he played this 300K, so I don't know. Maybe he, I don't know why he played that. He plays a lot of 25Ks, doesn't play that many 100Ks. I'm just using Hendon to determine that, in fairness.
Right.
So but he played the High Roller Bowl last year, too, and finished third last year for $1.1 million. So
it's his tournament, man.
Yeah. If he can win this event, and there are three left, it will be the biggest cash of his career. But second place will not be. Second place is close, but his biggest cash is $1.8 million. Second place is $1.7 million. So that would be devastating.
So it turns out Lucky Chewy is by far the most successful guy from 2 months, 2 million, if you remember.
I never watched that show, actually.
Oh, really? I guess I was just like, I was the right age.
Yeah.
And I was into poker. I was like 23.
I actually knew one of the players on the show, even.
Which one?
Emil.
Okay, yeah.
But not well, but like I knew him.
White Knight was his online name or something like that?
I couldn't tell you.
Anyway, yeah. I thought Donnie's...
I went to Mets games sometimes and he was there, you know, with our mutual friend Matt.
I thought Donnie Stern was maybe going to be the most successful.
Oh, yeah. He had a moment in the sun there on the big game.
Yeah, he played on the big game, and he's, you know, had some tournament success, I think.
Who was the fourth one?
Actually, Lucky Chewy wasn't one of the main four guys. He was like, he knew them, and he was featured on the show a few times.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think he was already a bigger deal than they were, too.
I don't really remember what the other guys' names were.
I will say Emil at the time was like, played nosebleed stakes and was considered one of the very best. I remember that.
Yeah.
And like cash. At the time, yeah. And again, I didn't know him well, but I knew him a little bit.
Anyway,
yeah.
Lucky Chewy.
Okay,
here he is. We're at 15K, 25K with these three players remaining. Lucky Chewy's got 2.3 million, so almost 100 bigs, and he is not the chip leader. Ike Haxton's got 2.8 million. So
okay.
We are deep because Chidwick is the effective stack between all three players with 910K.
Okay, so he's got like 40-ish blinds?
Almost 40, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, 41 blinds.
Yeah. So, Chidwick is, he's got like less than half of Chewy, who opens to 55K with Queen 8 off from the button. This is Lucky Chewy.
Yep.
Haxton folds, Chidwick's in the big blind. He's got Queen 6 off. He defends. Fine, I guess.
I mean, if you're Stephen Chidwick, I guess you can do stuff like that and it's totally fine.
Right.
Like, I think most people should not do that. And it's probably a losing battle, especially against good players.
Yeah.
But he knows Chewy's ranges opening on the button. He knows what he's supposed to defend with. I'm sure this is squarely in his defending range.
Maybe to Stephen Chidwick playing with Lucky Chewy is like us playing against the average $500 tournament player. Maybe he feels that way.
I can't believe that's true.
Probably not. Probably not.
I don't believe that.
Depends on how arrogant he is.
I don't believe that in any way.
Depends on how arrogant he is.
Yeah.
The flop is Queen 7-3. This is bad news for Chidwick.
Yeah.
Because he flops top pair, so does Lucky Chewy. Chewy's got him pipped with Queen 8.
Yeah. Is it a rainbow flop? No, there are two diamonds.
Two diamonds. Chewy has the queen of diamonds. Chidwick has no diamonds.
Okay. Interesting.
It goes check, check.
Okay.
Discuss.
Okay, well, Chidwick's checking this most of the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to let Chewy fire. Chewy's firing a reasonable amount on this board, I would say.
Yeah, it's kind of a range neutral board.
I would say it's probably slightly better for Chewy, even. Like, Chewy's got all the good queens, right, in the overpairs. He might even have the sets, and Chidwick doesn't have as many sets either. Like, he can have threes, but queens he almost never has, and sevens he rarely has. Probably. Yeah, but he also has some re-raises with sevens for sure.
Probably.
And some re-raises with threes. Ace-queen is almost always a re-raise, right? King-queen is sometimes a three-bet. Queen-jack is sometimes a three-bet. So he's less of the good stuff, I would say. I guess he has some, like, I guess he has, like, queen-three off, though.
Yeah.
Since he has queen-six off, he might have queen-three off and queen-seven off for sure.
There's not too much of a difference between queen-six and queen-three off.
Doesn't seem like it. So maybe in that way, he has more two-pair combos. I don't know if Chewy's opening like 7-3 of hearts on the button or not, but Chewy's defending it for sure.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So maybe it's closer than I was saying originally. I think Chewy still has a slight range advantage, but only slight.
What do you think about him checking back with queen-eight? That's the more interesting thing.
I think it's reasonable. You want to have some top pair checkbacks, and top pair bad kicker is a good one to check back. I think queen eight might be good enough to bet, actually. I wonder if the queen of diamonds makes him a little more inclined to check back, too.
Because he's less afraid of diamonds?
Yeah.
So how do you decide which hands you're betting and checking back against a guy like Stephen Chidwick where you absolutely have to be balanced or at least have some sort of strategy? Yeah.
I mean, the way you actually do it is you know the solver stuff so well that you actually know what percentage you're checking everything back and which hands are really. But
if you have to do it on the fly.
Yeah, you're doing it on the fly. Oh, man. I mean, you're betting a lot of your top pairs. I would have thought this would have been a bet, to be clear. Like, this doesn't seem like a standard check back to me. I'm guessing if we looked at a solver, the solver would have him betting this more than half the time.
Probably.
But checking back some of the time, too, probably. I think something like queen deuce, queen four are much more reasonable check backs.
Just because you're outkicked more frequently?
Exactly. Like, you want to be able to have really good bluff catchers, and top pair is a really good bluff catcher. Top pair with no kicker means you don't want to inflate the pot too much, so you keep pot control and also induce bluffs by checking. That's pretty nice. I mean, it seems like that's what Chewy's doing anyway here.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. I wonder if he's going to, and I don't know what happens in this hand, I wonder if he's going to have interesting plans on certain turns. Like, if Chidwick leads small, is Chewy ever going to raise? Like, stuff like that. It seems unlikely.
Seems pretty unlikely.
It seems like you just go call most of the time, assuming, you know, the board stays reasonable and regular, you know? Yeah. This is a surprise. Okay, but you were asking, how do you decide what you're betting and what you're not, right?
Yeah.
So, we're betting most of our diamonds. We're betting a bunch of our straight draws. We're betting a bunch of our pair draws. We're betting, I think, almost all our sevens, almost all our threes. We're betting a bunch of our queens, but not all our queens. We're checking, I think, some of our pairs, pocket pairs.
Okay.
Like pairs between the seven and the queen. We could check some of those, I think.
Yeah.
The higher, the better to check.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we could, I think, check nines sometimes here if we wanted to.
What garbage are we checking?
Good question.
We got to check some garbage.
Absolutely, we do.
King, deuce of clubs, stuff like that.
That's a really good one. Yeah, kings, that's things that have a little bit of showdown value are nice to check, even though we're going to fold to bets most of the time on the turn. But also we get the free card to maybe hit the over card, which is nice. But also don't have any backdoor, obvious backdoor equity, which King Deuce does not. King Deuce of Clubs has nothing going on this board. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. What are we doing with like 9-10 of clubs here? That's another one.
We could just bail on that.
We could just be like, eh, who cares? Yeah. I don't need to bet this, right?
Right. If you bet that and not King Deuce, it's entitlement tilt. It's because you were like more excited about 9-10 of clubs.
I mean, the only reason to bet 9-10 of clubs is you have two backdoor straight draws instead of zero.
Yeah.
And you also have a little less showdown value if you were to check all the way. But these are pretty marginal.
You have more ways to beat a seven or a three, though.
That is true. There's just more good turn cards for the 9-10 of clubs, though, right? You hit turn an 8 or a jack, now you're open-ended. You turn a 9 or a 10, you're beating everything except a queen.
Yeah.
That's a lot better than King Deuce's turn cards.
Yeah.
So that'd be a reason to bet that, I think, also. And, of course, less showdown value is another reason to bet.
I like also checking back maybe some nut flush draws.
Yep.
Maybe not some of the weaker flush draws, but nut flush draws, which we actually have showdown value even if we don't improve.
Right. I think that's pretty cool to do sometimes for sure.
Yeah. So who knows? But we can assume that Chewy has some sort of balance strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a great player.
I'm sure he does against these guys.
Yeah. You want to be a great player?
No.
Good. Nitro betting's for you.
Okay.
We want all the bad players. And guess what? There's plenty of them. On Nitro betting, and you should be there, right?
Wait. Because you're a bad player?
If you're a good player, you'd want to be around bad players. If you're a bad player, you'd also want to be around bad players.
Oh, so it doesn't matter
it's
what you
always,
are.
No matter how often you hear from a 60th percentile poker player that they'd rather play against good players than bad players, it's always better to play against bad players, yes, no matter who you are.
Yeah, it's a dominated strategy. You always would choose the bad player no matter what your own personal spot is.
Right.
That's right. Because the bad players are worse. Worse players are
easier
worse
to make money from.
Exactly. They're gonna make more mistakes.
Right.
The end.
So there's plenty of those on Nitro Betting.
So use
the link in the description. Sign up for Nitro Betting. You can play against the bad players. You can also do casino games. You can sports bet.
There's sports betting, man.
It's NFL season. NBA season's right around the corner.
Oh,
baseball's happening too, I guess.
Playoffs are happening as we speak. That's a great reason to bet.
For those who care, that's great.
Also, the NHL literally is starting today as we record. It's kickoff day for the NHL. You're going to drop that puck.
But that's only if you live in Canada, right? We don't get the broadcasts for another 6 or 7 months in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because it takes a while for
them. It's like Marvel movies in New Zealand. It just takes a while for them to get there.
Is that true?
No.
Oh, okay.
But there used to be true for all the big blockbusters in like New Zealand and Australia. It would take a while. I don't think it does anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now everything's fast and easy.
Anyway, get on there. Use the link. That's the most important part. Sign up for Nitro Betting. We will see you there.
Okay.
What do you think about the player who is saying I'd rather play against good players than bad players being a 60th percentile player? Does that feel right to you, or do you feel like it's a different percentile player?
I'm thinking it's mostly lower percentile than 60. I think you're being a little bit friendly.
When I say 60th percentile, I of course mean that very literally. So they're not profitable, you know, like they're like,
right. They're losing, but they're not, but they're better than more than half of the players.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the 60th percentile players are saying that. I think the 40th percentile players are saying it a lot, though, and very loudly.
You think the 40th percentile players are more likely to say it than the 60th?
I don't know.
I'm going to say 60th is the most
maybe
likely.
You're right. Because the thing is, you get some knowledge, right? And then you think you really understand shit. And then you can see the mistakes other people are making. And when you're at that level, I've seen something. It doesn't have to be the 60th percentile. But it's more about like experience. Or just if your general level of dickishness, right?
Sure.
But like, newer players who understand this stuff are more likely to tell other players how bad they're playing.
Yes.
Right? Or if you're just kind of don't know what you're doing at the table, you're going to do that too, I guess.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't do that, by the way. That's a mistake.
Do not do that.
That's a mistake and shows how you're a bit of... You're not what you think you are either if you're doing that, no matter what level you're at.
Of course.
But anyway, it's crazy to watch people like... literally explain to a player how bad the play they just made was when they're still playing. It isn't like they just even busted, you know?
Right.
We're playing a cash game and no one's leaving and you're explaining to them why that was such a terrible play.
You can't 3-bet ace jack there.
Right.
How
can you call that all in?
Right.
That's a terrible reason for these 12 things, yeah. The only time I've done that in the last 15 years, I wouldn't even say I did it, really, but I bet the turn with a combo draw, a true combo draw, don't worry, Grant.
Okay,
an actual combo draw.
Everything.
I got jammed on, but it was like a normal amount to call. It was like a very easy call. And I got there and I won. And the player who was sitting across the table came over to me and was like, how can you call that jam? You're like 3%.
3%?
I know.
With a combo draw?
Yeah. So all I said was, no, I'm not. I'm like 30%. He's like, you are not 30. He was adamant. And I was like, and I took out my phone and I like pulled it up and showed him the actual thing. He was like, huh? And he left. That's the closest I've gotten
to that. That seems fair.
Yeah.
3% with a combo draw?
I mean,
what the hell?
I think he thought I just had a straight draw. By the way, I still wouldn't only be 3%.
It's impossible. It's almost impossible to be 3% unless you're like set or set or something like that.
3% is like 2 outs.
Yeah.
I had like 11.
Yeah.
I think I might be 12 even. I had 12 outs, I think. Maybe I even had an overcard. I might have had 15 outs, you know, like it was super straightforward, the whole thing from my end. Yeah. It was nice to win that
I think pot. Stephen Chidwick knows it's not 3%. He probably thinks it's like 5 or 6%.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not really into maths. Because in England, yeah. they put an S at the end of
that. That would be also if he spoke ever. But the Slim Reaper is a silent Slim Reaper.
Yeah.
He does not speak.
I think Voldemort versus Harry Potter is kind of the right thing with these two guys. Have you seen the scarf Lucky Chewie's wearing? It's humongous.
Well, Ike Haxton is more of a Harry Potter lookalike than Lucky Chewie. So if it were Haxton instead of Chewie.
It's a Dario Maneri level scarf, though.
Okay,
For Lucky Chewie. And Lucky Chewie has glasses.
Lucky Chewie can be the other one, the redheaded kid.
Oh, Rupert Grint?
Is that the kid's name?
That's the actor.
Oh,
The kid's name is
Ron.
Yeah, it's been a while. Maybe
because the Lucky Chewie can be that
Ron
kid.
Weasley.
Yeah,
it's Ron.
So it's Voldemort versus Ron Weasley. That's what we got.
Ron did not wear scarves like that, though.
It was cold, you know.
but Voldemort looks like Stephen Chidwick, or vice versa. Also, It's a pretty good freaking thing I've done here.
Oh, you've really changed the world.
And also Luke and Vader, you can see how much they look like those guys.
Well, it depends on if they're wearing their outfits.
Yeah, exactly.
The turn is the Eight of Diamonds.
Okay. Yeah.
The flop was Queen 7-3 with two diamonds.
Yeah.
Lucky Chewie has Queen 8 with the Queen of Diamonds.
So sure.
Turned top two with the Queen High Flush Draw.
I mean, my goodness.
Stephen Chidwick has Queen 6 with no diamonds.
Oh, we're drawing dead here.
He is That's drawing literally dead.
Literally dead.
Not literally dead, but, you know, poker dead. So, Chidwick's going to bet.
Of course he is. He has top pair. Why wouldn't we bet?
Yeah, we got to protect. It's a scary card.
Chewie has a lot of checkbacks with, like,
Ace X,
showdownable hands.
Yeah.
And like, sure, he's got some junk that he's just going to fold. Also, he could have turned an eight, which he did actually, but not in a good way. Feels like a very natural bet here for Chidwick.
So he bets 100K into 150.
Okay.
What do you want to do is LC, Lucky Chewie.
You know, sometimes raise now, sometimes raise later. I'm more inclined to raise now, I think, than
it
to
is
raise
a third
later.
Diamond.
Oh, it's a third diamond. I did not realize it was a third diamond. We had
How
the queen of
did
diamonds.
You not realize that?
You didn't really point it out.
I did, actually, quite a bit.
What'd you say?
You're like, who's the dumb one in Harry Potter?
There are no dumb ones in Harry Potter. Okay. The Dursleys.
What about
Dursleys.
Hufflepuff? Aren't Hufflepuff dumb? Or like, at least, they're oafish.
You are really coming down hard on Hufflepuff.
Are Hufflepuff not oafish? Their name is Hufflepuff.
Can you name the four houses of Harry Potter? Go.
I have not seen any of the movies, and I only read the first book in sixth grade.
But you know Hufflepuff, so what else you got?
It's not Valerian.
It is not.
That's like a Game of Thrones thing.
Yes, Valerian Steel.
Yeah. Okay, Hufflepuff is one.
Yep.
Scragclaw. is that pretty close?
Oh, no, that's pretty much it, yeah.
I have at some point known this, but Quidditch, that's a game play.
That's a game. These are, by the way, I could have only named one more myself.
Dumbledore is a guy.
That's a guy. All right, you have no chance.
There's the big guy who is oafish.
That's right.
And Hufflepuff is oafish. Come on.
The other three houses.
Gryffindor.
Yes, good job. How did you do that?
I just nailed it out of the top of my head.
Founded by Godric Gryffindor, of course. Hufflepuff, founded by Helga Hufflepuff. I'm noticing an alliteration thing happening here, which I'm not loving. I'm going to tell you who founded this other one. You tell me what the name of it is. You ready?
Yeah.
Rowena Ravenclaw.
Is it Ravenclaw?
It is Ravenclaw. And finally, Salazar Slytherin.
Oh, Slytherin.
Yeah,
I knew
Slytherin
that one.
You should have gotten. That's the one you have to get.
Ravenclaw was like no chance.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten Gryffindor or Ravenclaw. So what do we know? And I've read all the books. And I'm not embarrassed to say it.
Good.
Anymore.
Anyway, we've gone far afield a lot.
We did the thing. I don't know why. We have another podcast for this.
Sometimes we just can't contain it.
It's fine.
And the people who don't like it, that's too bad. Sorry.
You know, it's not like it's 30 minutes anymore. You're welcome.
Yeah, you should thank us. All right. Do you want to raise ever on the third diamond when you're Chewie and you make top two? And you do have often a backup if Chidwick has a flush. Obviously, you have the backup of the full house, but you also might make it a better flush.
Okay, let's think about it. Chidwick doesn't have that many nut flush draws in his range. He may have a few, but he's three betting a lot of
suited aces. This is one of those
aces.
Spots where he might already have a flush, so we shouldn't say the word draw after we say flush every time.
You're right. I was talking about on the flop.
Okay.
But that was very confusing. I shouldn't have said it that way. Okay. He doesn't have very many nut flushes.
Yeah.
You're correct. Thank you. Because he's three betting a lot of those pre-flop.
Yeah.
Okay. He has definitely some king high flushes. He's through betting some of those too.
He has a ton of flushes.
He has a ton of flushes besides that, for sure. For sure. And us having the queen of diamonds is cool that it blocks it, but I don't think we can raise.
Yeah,
I think we should call. We're in position. We get to see what he does on the river, you know? Like, if a diamond comes, that's fine. We're not folding, usually. We're just, you know, we have the ability to put in a big bet or raise the river if he bets tiny or do whatever we want. I think it's a pretty clear call when it's the third diamond. If it was the eight of not diamonds, I think it's a pretty clear raise most of the time.
I agree.
Okay.
Chewy does call.
Great. We're all on the same page. You, me, and the luckiest.
And the Ravenclaw folk. Because, you know, I identify with the Ravenclaw people because I knew them the least, right? You want to be unknown.
Right. But you did know Rowena Ravenclaw.
I knew about Rowena.
It's weird that you didn't realize that she had started Ravenclaw. You know her other ways.
Well,
we have
tea every once in a while. 350K in the pot.
Right.
I'm going to say this, and I think I mean it. I think every decision on the river is interesting. Three decisions on the river are going to happen.
I can think of... Can I guess what they are before I've seen it?
Yeah.
I would like to guess. I'm going
to
start
I'm going to have to tell you
tell me the river card.
It's the five of spades. So it's queen, seven, three, eight, five with three diamonds.
I'm going to start with Chidwick bets big. That's guess number one.
He does bet. It could be considered big, but for the river, it's close.
Okay. Very obviously, Ike must raise.
Ike is not in the hand.
Damn it all to hell. Chidwick must raise, otherwise this wouldn't... There couldn't be a third
Chidwick
decision.
Chidwick must raise?
You know what I mean.
how is this possible?
wait. No. I've got a shot at it now. Chewy must raise.
There you go.
Only because he has to because of the... It's interesting that Chewy raises if Chidwick bets biggish, though. If Chidwick bets small, the raise makes more sense, actually. Okay, and my guess is that Chidwick is going to... I don't know if he's going to call or fold. I think... I'm going to guess fold, but I don't know.
Let's go through it.
Okay, great. That was not good radio at all.
No. Five of spades. It's okay. Lucky it's a podcast, not the radio. Queen, seven, three, eight, five with three diamonds. Chidwick has queen six. Chewy's got queen eight.
They both lock a straight.
Queen of diamonds. They do. Do you think Chidwick betting is a good idea? He does bet. He bets 225 into 350.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
To get called by...
Jack.
Or an eight.
Eight. Ace eight. King eight. Shit like that.
Yeah, Chewy's probably going to call with a lot of that stuff.
10-10.
Yeah.
Those things with a diamond especially.
Yeah. I think it is...
They're all checking back if we check.
I think it is the correct decision to bet.
Maybe they're checking back. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think most players, and I mean most, not just players in the Super High Roller Bowl, but most players in the world are checking in Chidwick's seat here.
It's a very comfortable check, right? Yeah. We check, we bluff catch if Chewy's got a diamond that he was calling the turn with, right?
Yeah.
The thing is he going to bluff that very often? If he has the ace of diamonds, he's probably just checking it back. He might even check back the king of diamonds.
Yeah.
Where he's like, just enough showdown value to check it back.
Maybe.
The king of diamonds.
It's pretty... It's not much showdown value with either of them on this board.
I mean, Chidwick could have been taking a shot and just be bailing, too. Although that river card seems to be kind of good for him.
All right. Anyway. I think this decision is clearly more interesting than Chidwick's.
Yeah.
As you know, I've already confirmed that Chewy does race. He moves in because Chidwick started with 7:30 on the river.
Right.
And Chewy moves in for 7:30.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean...
We're going for it here.
We really are. And it's ballsy, right? Because Chidwick, as we said on the turn, has tons of flushes in his range, and he's obviously not folding any of them.
My belief... Okay, so Chidwick bets 225 into 350, right?
Yeah.
My belief, and I wonder if I'm wrong about this, because it seems like it's too transparent, and yet I feel like I see players react off of what I'm about to say regularly, and even the high-end commentators who are all deep into GTO stuff talk about this regularly, too, that the sizing is often... is indicative of hand strength to some degree. It seems crazy.
For Stephen Chidwick?
I understand this, but I'm saying GTO, like generally when they've got a nutted hand, they're betting polarized amounts, right?
Yeah.
Not always, of course, but like it's very weighted towards a polarized bet sizing. 225 into 350 just isn't polarized.
Well, GTO is meant to be unexploitable.
Yeah.
That sounds very exploitable, what you just described.
I agree. And yet, this is a thing that I see all the time where they're like, oh, I think Kuhn's going to raise here because Sam Sovereign only bet half pot on the river, and so Kuhn knows he almost never has a big hand here. He just has a pretty good hand, and so you know, well, who can get value or what. Like, that's something I see talked about regularly, and it confuses me.
I believe that
feels
just
like a leak.
Not GTO. I believe that's just not GTO then. They're just talking exploit.
Which part? The raise?
The,
or the bet size?
The intense level of imbalance that allows you to react in
you shouldn't
a
be able
very
to react like
easy
that.
Way.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And yet it seems like that. I'm believing that if Chidwick bet 400K, that we would not see a raise here.
Is this like the combo
guess.
Draw thing? Is this the combo draw thing all over again where you're just wrong about this?
I wasn't even wrong about the other thing. How could I be wrong about this? Stay with me though. Do you think I'm wrong? If Chidwick bets 400K, do you think Chewy's still moving in? I don't think so.
It's an interesting question. I think probably not.
So,
yeah,
I guess you're kind of sort of in your own weird little Grant way agreeing with what I'm saying, right?
Why'd you have to say little?
I don't know. I just needed to hit you a little.
It's rude.
Yeah, it was. It was. You're taller than me. It's okay.
Yeah, if I were shorter than you, it would be...
Oh, I couldn't
it
say
it. It would be a hate crime. I can't say these things about you or I go to jail. All right. So...
So Chewy, oh sorry, go ahead.
So Chewy does move in. I do wonder if he would move on over 400. I mean, I think you're right. I think that Chidwick would be more likely to have a flush if you bet 400K.
So
interesting,
right? Like you often talk about this. Now you talk about this in terms of not playing the Stephen Chidwicks of the world, but about sizing in such a way on the river when you've got a strong but not unbeatable hand. So A, you get a lot of value, but B, you also have a very easy decisions when someone actually chooses
yes,
to raise,
and
right?
That is not GTO when I'm talking about that, of course.
Of course.
And I think that that's... I'm going to go back to that.
Okay.
I think that's not GTO. I think that these players are playing less GTO than you're giving them credit for, and I think they're all aware of it, if this is truly the case. Because if it were truly GTO...
It shouldn't be like this.
You couldn't react so easily.
But let's forget about GTO. These are... two of the best players in the world, right?
Yes.
Even
yes.
though we say Chewy's not in the same tier as Chidwick, Chewy's in the top 30 players, right?
Probably.
Tournament? I would guess so.
Probably, yeah.
He might be top 20.
I who knows?
I don't know.
When you get to a certain point, yeah. it's like
so close.
It's like
cares?
NFL running backs. It's fungible, like
within the tier. You
yeah,
mean.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, whatever. Geez, careful there, buddy. Anyway,
sorry, I didn't mean to say anything about Ramondre Stevenson or whatever.
The Patriots are having a tough year, so. So if Chewy is only going to move in, though, on smaller bets and not bigger bets, then Chewy is trying to exploit Chidwick in a way that he thinks is indeed like a bit of a tell, right?
We could just be totally wrong, by the way.
We could.
Chewy might just move in over 400K.
I don't believe that.
I know you don't, but we often
but do. But you don't either. I understand you're being open to it right. not being the case, but you don't really believe that either, right?
I don't think that I would, I think, is more what's going on. Because, especially in these high roller situations, we do many of these hands where we're like, let's try to figure out what just happened.
True.
Because that was abnormal to me.
No doubt. You know? No doubt. It would seem bizarre for Chewy to move in over a more than pot size bet to me, though. Like, just shocking and bizarre.
I think it's kind of bizarre anyway.
It is a little bizarre anyway, but it's less bizarre when Chidwick bets two-thirds of the pot. I think it's clearly less bizarre. Like, if he bet more than pot, I would be like, what the fuck is Chewy doing? That would be my... And now I'm like, wow, Chewy is really, like, thinly raising, which is different than what the fuck is he doing.
I think this might just be more about you and me than about them. That, like, I think that maybe we just aren't in situations where we can ever react with a move-in with top two over 400K, and these guys can.
I mean, I understand you're saying that because you're trying to leave room for that.
Yeah.
But my experience watching these guys play these events, when someone overbets... you only move in with essentially the nuts or a bluff, fine, but like not for value with like a medium strength hand, which effectively this is on this board, right? This is a strong medium strength hand, but that's all it is,
yeah.
Right? They don't do that.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't feel like I see them. Now, I haven't watched Chewy play much, but
so
I think it's fair to say that.
Your position is that Chewy is doing this because of the size?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think it's justifiable to do because of the size?
Oh, God, that's a great question. What does it look like we have?
What does it look like Chewy has? Or
yes, what does it look like Chewy has? Because one part of this has to be that we can be called by worse. Otherwise, what the fuck are we doing? Right.
Right.
So, what does it look like we have so we can be called by worse than top two? Like,
I'm not going to answer your question because I'm having a thought that I don't want to lose.
Great, go ahead.
I'm wondering if having the Queen of Diamonds is good or bad right now for Chewy. Because I know it's good to block flushes, but I think Chidwick's most likely calls with top pair only are with the Queen of Diamonds in his hand. So we block Chidwick having the Queen of Diamonds, which makes it more likely that we can get called by a weaker hand. Are you following me?
I did not follow that.
Okay. I think it might be ultimately bad to have the Queen of Diamonds as Chewy.
Right.
Because that removes the Queen of Diamonds from Chidwick's potential hands. I think if we're going to get called by a worse hand than Queen 8.
Because he's like, I have a diamond also.
Right.
Now, we could argue, though, that the Queen of Diamonds is like one of the diamonds that is less important to have, right? Because it is also top pair, so you wouldn't need to turn it into anything. But it does, but I guess, but Chewy having it still means that Chewy has less of those.
Right. It means that Chewy has more bluffs and less value. If Chidwick has the Queen of Diamonds, it blocks a lot of Chewy's value.
Okay.
So as Chewy, we don't want to have the Queen of Diamonds under my current theory, because we want Chidwick to be having that sometimes, because that's always a worse hand than Queen 8, and could call, because it blocks the right things from Chidwick's perspective.
Mm. Mm.
You follow me now?
Mostly. I'm still sort of struggling, because you said at one point, like, it blocks a lot. If you want, Chidwick wants to have it, if we're Chidwick, we want to have it in our hand, not... If we're Chewy, we want Chidwick to have it.
Yes. If we have it, he can't, right?
Right. I get that.
Okay. So what's the problem that you're not getting?
I am trying to understand why that, what that does for the value piece.
I would rather have Queen 8 without the diamond.
Because
Chidwick is more, because you asked the question, what are we hoping to get called by?
Right.
Top pair would be great.
Sure.
What is the most likely type of top pair that Chidwick can call with? One that blocks the flush. The Queen of Diamonds blocks the flush.
Right. Okay.
You there?
I totally get that.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense to me. I'm sorry you had to explain it three times.
It's okay.
It was hard.
It's kind of complicated, and it could be wrong. It could be that I'm not thinking about enough other pieces in the hand.
Yeah.
But that is something that just crossed my mind. And can you think of a rebuttal to that? Other than, of course, having the Queen of Diamonds as Chewy blocks Chidwick actually having a better hand than us. So that's good. But... the bad part is the getting called by a worse hand is harder now because Chidwick can't have the Queen of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Chidwick bets the turn, bets the river. We're looking to get called. No, there's so many pieces to this one.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I'm sort of falling back into my original question before you went off on this little... It's okay. What are we hoping to get called by, right? I mean, what do we think we can get called by?
Well, now that we have the Queen of Diamonds in our hand, we're hoping he has a weaker two pair.
Right. Like that seems pretty straightforward, right? All two pair would be great because we have the best two pair.
Right.
Chewick, I guess, could just have a queen and call sometimes, or maybe even a pair and call sometimes if he decides to get really like, I just don't believe you.
Sure.
I have the right blocker. Whatever. That's possible. We could block straights and flushes as Chewy can decide to call with one pair, right? I guess.
Here's another thought that just popped into my head.
Yeah.
Chewy may believe, and may be correct in believing, that Chidwick is more likely to call with a wider range due to the scenario they're in the tournament with the stacks.
Where Haxton and
Chewy, if Chidwick folds, are both going to each have over 100 blinds, and Chidwick is going to be left with 20 blinds.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more value in the full double to like true contender status versus battling it out with 20 blinds and hoping to get lucky a few times.
Against guys who are really good and aren't going to make big mistakes.
Therefore, Chewy should expand his value range.
Interesting. That I like. That makes more sense to me.
You don't like the other one?
I don't dislike the other one, but this like I can get my hands around a little more of like, I really see like Chewick might decide to like go for it here.
Yeah.
Like he may just be like, it's close, so I'm calling.
Right.
If it's close at all, I'm calling.
You know,
kind of a thing. And we can see then Chewick's going to be in a bit of a spot if he's thinking that way, because with top pair and blocking the straight, that's kind of close now. And you may think there aren't that many flush draws that got there in Chewy's range because he checked back the flop, which of course he can do with some flush draws, but not that many.
Right. Yeah. See, that's the type of thing, that thought, that maybe Chewy had, maybe he didn't. But that gives me hope for high-level poker that there still can be leveling wars even though GTO exists, right? Because that's a different thing than how you're supposed to play your hand in every scenario.
I mean, there definitely are leveling wars in high-level poker.
Yeah, of course.
No question.
Yeah.
But wow, it's a cool way to think about it, which is like if he's got a hand he can maybe call with, he's probably going to lean towards the call. So I can GM with more value than I otherwise would.
Right. It's the inverse of a principle that we've talked about many times on the podcast where somebody's in Chidwick's position and we talk about how the value of the call is so much more than the loss of the fold based on the position it puts you in the
exactly,
tournament.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. Yes.
It's the other side of that coin.
Yeah. I mean, if Chidwick makes this call and is right, what's he going to have? He's going to have like $2 million.
Yeah.
He's going to be in great shape.
He'll
Chewy's
going to
be
yeah.
in trouble. I mean, not in terrible trouble, but in trouble comparatively. He's going to be a clear third place. Yeah, Chidwick has a real chance to win this tournament. I mean, he does anyway, but he's really improved his chances if he calls and is right.
So maybe...
That's interesting.
Even if the first piece that was complex and confusing that I said is correct and that it's bad for Chewy to have the Queen of Diamonds in order to get called more, it might be more important just to block more of Chidwick's value because he's going to call with such a high frequency now mm-hmm. due to the scenario that
right.
Chewy has the right combo of queen eight even to do it, to like try to maximize value.
I mean, I wonder if Chewy actually, if he didn't have a diamond in his hand, would raise.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's possible having the queen of diamonds makes it easier to raise because it's harder for Chewy to have flushes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, which is, of course, the counter to my earlier
thing. That's the counter, yeah.
Thing.
And I do believe... I'm going to say this again. The sizing probably plays into it too.
It really might.
I mean, I can't imagine if Chewy bet 500,000, for example, Chewy would ever move in for 230 more.
Like, it seems
really hard to imagine.
I do agree with that.
But I can't imagine Chewy ever betting 500,000 with a hand like this either.
Right.
Which goes back to
which all
the
seems
whole
wrong.
Thing.
It all seems wrong.
I agree. And you know, one guy who started to play with this stuff is who's the dude who was under Bryn Kenny and was getting high and like told everyone
oh,
what
yeah,
was going
yeah.
on.
I,
you know what I'm talking about?
Zamani.
Yes. So he was playing, I don't know if it was the Super High Roller Bowl, but it was something like that. Maybe it was just one of the Poker Go series where he dominated the series. He had like really, he played great. I think he won the main event of it too, whichever one it was, sometime in the last like 18 months. And he was doing these big polarizing bets on the river with medium strength hands. And it was working unbelievably well. He'd get called by bluff catchers because they just didn't think he could be as wide as he was, you know? So they thought he just didn't have a lot of value there. And then he did.
Right. He's finding where people have overcorrected to one side of the GTO spectrum. And he's exploiting that.
It was fascinating to watch. And of course, it's risky because sometimes you could, it really looks like against certain players, like you're just game theory disastering yourself where it's like, I'm betting more than pot with just top pair, no kicker on the river, you know? But then you get called by second pair by these really good players. And it happened a lot.
Yeah.
And he made that work, you know? And it was cool to watch. It was really cool to watch. So he was like, this was like the counter to what's going on with this. And he's got to be hell to play against if you're so used to this other thing, right?
All right. Back to here.
Yeah.
So Chewy moves in.
Yes.
Do we like it because of the expanded calling range theory?
I think you combine a bunch of stuff together, but yes.
Okay. And because of the expanded calling range theory, do we consider calling with Queen Sixes, Chedwick?
We definitely need to consider calling. We
yes.
cannot just throw this hand. This hand is not a bad hand at all.
It would be nice to have a diamond.
It would be cool to have a diamond, but it's nice to block the straight, and the straight is probably more likely.
The like 6-4?
6-4, 6-9, right?
Those no, it's just 6-4.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It's 8-5.
Oh, wait, there's an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6-9. 6-9 and 6-4.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so having a 6 is great. Having a 6 is like the best straight blocker card.
Yeah.
That's really good, and diamonds are less likely because it went check-check on the flop. Not impossible, and also...
Still would be better to have a diamond.
It would be better, but if we had to pick between only having a diamond or a straight, or the six, I don't know, you might prefer the six when it goes check-check on the flop. Like, mostly...
Chewy only has 6-4 and 6-9 suited.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So there's three combos of each of those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge thing.
It's not a huge thing. But he doesn't have very many flushes either.
No.
You can see how this is tough for Chidwick now, right? Chewy doesn't have many flushes. We block the straights, and the straights, there are very few combos of the straights anyway. Like, what the hell is Chewy moving in with? I mean, I can understand why he would strongly lead towards call. We have top pair. It went check, check on the flop. What the hell?
So we've established that it's probably strategically correct for Chidwick to call with a wider range in this exact spot than in an early tournament spot, right? Because of the stack dynamic.
The stack dynamic, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So with that in mind, where does he fit in his distribution? Obviously is the question we have to ask.
Right.
He obviously has flushes. He has a lot of flushes. A lot.
He has a bunch of flushes.
He has straights.
He has some straights. On the turn, 6-9 especially, right? Yeah. 6-9 makes all the sense.
Maybe not 6-4. Maybe he wouldn't bet that on the turn. Who knows? Maybe he would because it went check-check on the flop and he's just taking a shot.
It's not impossible with the gutter.
Right. So yeah, I would actually lean towards he probably does bet. He's got 6 high and he has some equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 32 combos right there that are better. The flushes probably amount to around that amount of combos, maybe more.
Yeah.
That puts us way down already. Like, we're around 70 combos with straights and flushes already.
70?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Well, we need to be thinking of it,
maybe,
though.
No, we probably have fewer flushes than that.
Yeah.
But 50, because we got 32 straights.
We have 32 straights. Oh, right, because we have 6-9 off.
Yeah.
And 6-4 off. You're right. We do have that. Yeah. We have all suited diamonds that we're not 3-betting. We're pretty much calling pre-flop. Yeah. All of them.
Yep.
That's true. Okay. What other things are we betting on turn, betting on river that we're clearly throwing away, right?
I mean, maybe we prefer to fold hands like queen jack and king queen because we don't block the straight. So, like, maybe we even prefer to fold some of our weaker two pairs, you know, because they don't block anything meaningful.
Right.
So, I don't know, a queen with a 6 and a queen with a 9, maybe they're next after those same hands, queen 6 and queen 9 with one diamond.
I mean, yeah, that sounds like the best.
Right.
Queen 6 with one diamond, like, that's as good as it gets for a blocking hand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. What else are we betting on the river, though? Like, how low does our betting for value go on the river?
Yeah. I mean, are we betting an 8 for value on the river? It wouldn't be a great, it could be king 8 is the best 8 we can ever have, right? We might bet king 8 for value on the river because a better hand's going to bet anyway. So we get to check call. Like, we can, if we think Chewy is checking back a lot on the flop with showdownable hands, we could bet king 8 on the
maybe
river.
Maybe we can have king 8. Maybe.
I think we can. It's getting thin.
I don't think we're betting a 7 ever because Chewy has lots of aces.
I don't think we're betting a 7 either.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
So we're pretty low as far as hand rank.
Yep. Another thing to think about here is what are the obvious bluffs that Chewy might play this way? And there is a few things that come to mind.
Ace of diamonds.
That's the one. Clear check back on the flop when he doesn't have 2 diamonds, right?
Right.
He might bet that sometimes, but he's going to check that back sometimes too, for sure. On the turn, he can't fold. He can raise or he can call, but he can't fold. And then on the river, he's going to take that shot sometimes.
Yep.
So that's the obvious one.
7-6 suited.
7-6 suited. That's interesting.
It depends on if he thinks he needs to turn into a bluff or not.
Yeah. I don't know if he does think that or not. It's unclear. I think the king of diamonds, he could be doing this with too, because Chewy doesn't have very many.
Maybe. Maybe he could.
Doesn't have that many ace of diamonds in his hand.
You might be doing it too much then. Maybe he needs it to be king 6 or king 9.
But if Chewick is going to consider calling here, and he's got all those combos that are just easy calls, like auto calls, before this, if we're going to consider calling, maybe we need Chewy to have the king of diamonds as part of that range of bluffing, right?
I mean, I think...
We need Chewy to be bluffing. Can we beat any value?
No.
Doesn't seem like
it, right? Of
course not.
No, definitely not.
No. But no way.
But I don't think the point of calling more here is that the ratios of how often we're winning have changed necessarily with queen six in particular. I think it's just that we have to call more because of the situation we're in if we fold and the situation we're in if we call. Mm-hmm. And like we can accept that we're only going to win 20% of the time, even if it's not the right odds in the exact moment.
Right. Because it's such a boost when we win.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks.
Pretty
to fold.
Devastating when
we're
we fold
here.
And lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, with that in mind, I still think we're like on the edge of where we should be as far as calling range, because if we have 50-ish combos of straights and flushes.
I mean, if we really do, it feels like we
And then we have all
here.
Queen 6 and Queen 9 with a diamond.
Yep.
That are clearly better. Then if you're being generous to this hand, then it's this hand, unless you want to put two pair ahead of that.
I think we're calling queens up ahead of this hand.
Yeah, you're right.
Because like we can, I mean, maybe that's dumb because this might be the worst possible hand that Chewy's moving in with for value.
Yeah.
So then queens up is not as good as queen
right.
six.
Right.
But it feels like how can you really fold queens
yeah.
up? Are you really folding queen, what was the river, five? Queen five here? Really? I can't imagine. It feels impossible.
So I think I get why Chidwick's calling, but I, I question it from a distribution perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair. If we have so many combos of flushes and straights and all that. I wonder if Chitwick is just taking into account that he... No, it doesn't matter. If he has bluffs, those are all just auto folds.
Yeah.
But if he's thinking about his entire range, he'd have to be bluffing so much to bet turn river and then have this be a call without, like, it being a problem.
Yeah. You know?
So many bluffs himself where he's like, well, all my value basically has to be a call. All my good value has to be called. This is good value because it blocks some stuff.
Maybe Chidwick's just in a spot where he's like, anything that has reasonable blockers of any type has to be a call because if I fold, I have 20 blinds, and that's just a bad situation.
We really need Chewy to have bluffs here, though.
Yeah, we do. We can't beat value.
Does Chewy have bluffs here? Maybe Chewick is thinking, well, I bet 225K, so Chewy might have bluffs at 225K because that's a size you can raise as a bluff. You can't raise 400K as a bluff because now I'm polarized. Maybe he's like playing that game too a little bit. It's not impossible. That'd be pretty interesting, actually, if it's Chewy raises because it's 225K and he thinks it's medium strength and he can beat medium strength, and then Chidwick calls because he's like, it looks like I have medium strength, so he can move in over the top and get me to fold all that, and so I can't fold, especially when I've got the good blocker. That'd be interesting.
Anyway, Chidwick does call, and that's the end of his tournament.
Bye-bye, Voldemort.
That was an interesting one.
That is a really interesting hand, and I feel like we could probably spend another hour talking about it, honestly.
But we're not going to.
No, let's not. Hey, first time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. 90s baby scratching them vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second dates. I'm the rapper most likely to make it.